So this morning, I want to just share a little glimpse into a few of the things that God is working in my heart over the past number of months. And this is the title I've chosen, God's Grace for Every Trial. I think to one of the other aspects that I think right along with this kind of thinking of trials and difficulties in our life is even just unexpected circumstances, unexpected twists and turns that I don't know how to respond to. One of the things that for me came very clear as I think this is kind of just putting a thought to it at the very outset of our time here, is that God has something to say to me for every situation that I experience where I don't know what I need. God has an answer. And I think so often when I face a difficulty, my first thing is, how can I get rid of my difficulty? Rather than, what does God want to say? So God's grace for every trial. I want to know more about what it means to experience and receive His grace in every trial. So one of the things that happened for me that kind of set me a little bit on this journey is at the close to the middle of or the end of January, I graduated nurse practitioner school, and it kind of ends a very long season of being in and out of school, doing lots of different programs and so forth. And kind of the uncertainty and the ambiguity of suddenly being done with school and having nothing on that side of my life, which often dictated very precisely what needed to happen on a day-to-day basis. It threw me for a curve that I wasn't expecting. See, I wasn't expecting any challenge being done with school. But just realizing all of a sudden the uncertainty of the questions of what next, I wasn't expecting it. In some ways, it almost felt to me probably a little bit like culture shock, probably even more than when I came home from Indonesia when we spent 2 years there. A little bit the same feeling, like just all of a sudden, I'm not sure of a lot of the next steps in life. And a lot of waiting. So that's kind of the process that God took me through in helping me to see that the unexpected, the unknowns, the waiting, the longed for visions, dreams, whatever it may be, He wants to give me grace for the unfolding of that process. So that's a part of my personal journey, and I'd like to look at a few scriptures then as well as we get into this, but first maybe just a little definition here of trials, kind of thinking of that. I would say also our Sunday school lesson, which I was not necessarily trying to coordinate that with this message today, but thinking about the unexpected, the unknown that the children of Israel faced in the wilderness. That was a test. That was a trial. That was things they were not sure how to deal with. One aspect of a definition here, obviously, experiences of, or situations that a person, that test a person's endurance or self-control. I think that's generally what we think of in relation to a trial. I think also of the fact that, you know, in a court of law, things can be brought to trial. That is to test and to figure out and to make a decision on what is true and what is right. It is to show what's real, especially when there's things expected to be hidden. So think about it. What are the difficulties and things that are trials in your life? What does God want to say to you? What grace is available to you from God that you have not yet experienced or known? Does God know about each of these trials in our life? See, that's one of the things that I find is that sometimes I think this is an unexpected thing that happened to me. I think this is an unknown. But God knew before it happened, right? Do I trust that? One of the songs that I thought about as I was thinking through this is like, yeah, there is that song that God gives me grace for every trial. It's all the way my Savior leads me. That is a good reminder to us for that. So really today, my goal is not to exhaust the topic of God's grace and trials in our lives, but I just threw together a bunch of different words here to kind of help us consider where are the stresses, pressures, and difficulties in our life, in our relationships, in our work. What are you facing? What does God want to, where does God want you to receive more grace? I think of the idea of faith. I really think that in the difficulties, the unknowns of life, we have to remember that God is after our relationship with Him, and He wants us to know Him very deeply and trust Him very deeply to walk with us through this life. Because, as the children of Israel discovered in the wilderness, the most sure thing they had was God's presence. They didn't always have the food and the water and the perfect Garden of Eden scenario. Think about other examples in the scriptures of suffering. Job. We did study in Job recently, and definitely we did not study that exhaustively, but Job's sufferings. Remember one other aspect of the difficulties of this life is sometimes there's more to the picture than what we can see. There are spiritual powers in the heavenlies that are at work. And I don't believe that Job's experience was just meant for a nice little illustration of how perfect he was before God, but rather to say there is a power in the heaven. There is Satan that is willing to seek to destroy us. But in that, we still see God knows how much of the suffering and trials we can take to strengthen our faith, not to destroy us. So let's look at Hebrews 11. Just a couple phrases from Hebrews 11 here. Consider the fact that here in Hebrews 11, we see the fact that there is God is talking about all the different people in the Old Testament leading up through who were people of faith. What did that mean? It means that they heard from God and they acted accordingly. They believed God and they moved. Those were people of faith of the Old Testament. And they're being lifted up to us as an example. But consider how this journey of faith goes. Verse 35 to 38. So verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings, scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So seeing the fact that even those who lost their lives, who were not delivered in this present world, they walked by faith. And I think it's verse 10 of this same chapter where it talks about Abraham, and it says, for he waited for the city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I think the thing we see most clearly in this chapter on faith is that they were oriented towards God and towards a future blessing, towards a heavenly city. They didn't regard the earthly city as their possession to be grabbed and held on to. I think that heavenward, that Godward orientation needs to be our constant posture, because where I run astray is when my trials take my eyes off of Him and I begin to think that my problems here are so big, like how could it ever be solved, right? I won't go into deep details of it, but just to mention again, you know, Paul describes his sufferings, but he said, oh, I'm going to count those all as happy losses, happy sufferings, for one thing, I want to know Christ. That was kind of his posture as well. And I think, again, just kind of finishing with that idea of posture, our heart posture. Therefore, this great cloud of witnesses, the men and women of faith who've gone before us, therefore, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider the fact that Jesus knew, in this context of what this is saying, Jesus knew there was a joy ahead. Therefore, he pressed through the current sufferings because joy is coming. What does God want to say to me? What grace does God have available for me today? What is God's grace? I think it's one of those things that is really interesting to try to define. I do not have an exhaustive definition of it here today, but here's just a few thoughts to consider about God's grace. Isn't God's divine grace, isn't one of those aspects is simply his presence? Is that enough? His presence with us. His leading through suffering. His leading in uncertainty. And his acceptance of me. Think about salvation, deliverance, faith, belonging. What is my relationship to God, and how am I interacting with Him in this moment, this time of wilderness, if you will, that is not yet the completion of our promised salvation, but it is, we are in this stage of walking with Him and receiving His grace for our daily lives. What does it take? again, let's remember this posture. Trials are not meant to destroy us. They are an opportunity and an invitation in front of us to say, how could I trust God more? How should we respond? Let's consider that idea. We talked about a few of those already. My natural inclinations to difficulties and suffering is, can I please just get this problem fixed and out of my way? Right? What if I have a problem that stays for a while and it's not just going to go away overnight? Can I find God's grace to deal with the thing that stays for a long time and it's just not going away right away? Does God have instructions for us in suffering? Yes, there are some things that God has given us hints about how we should do this. And again, this is not exhaustive, but let's look at a few of these passages, starting with James. The book of James, chapter 1. We have some good instructions in here. Chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, and the flower falls, and its beauty and appearance perishes away. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt any man. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Again, there are a lot of different aspects in this passage that we could look at, but consider what it tells us about trials and about testing and about our approach. We see in this passage the exhortation to faith, patience, to ask God for wisdom. We see the rich and the poor comparison. You know, either or both. I mean, both of them will wither as the grass as well. It's not like any of our riches can save us in any way. We see that the trust in God is the key that he's calling us to in this way. Come to him and ask him for what we have need of. I think so often I divide my life a little too much in this is my spiritual life and this is my work life and this is my family life and that way. All of it together, God says, when you lack wisdom, come ask. And I think that's the acknowledgement I need to get to, is I don't have the wisdom I need to deal with trials, testings, life in general on my own. I don't have what it takes to deal with that by myself. Come ask. I think my temptation to shortcuts is the idea of doubt, unbelief, anger, fear, fleshly efforts to avoid pain and suffering, really. It's kind of what it ends up happening when I'm not willing to go through with what God has in front of me. Let's look at another passage, 1 Peter chapter 1. This gets even further into explaining how we respond. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. We greatly rejoice in the salvation. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That is, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, Jesus, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, could I glory and rejoice in the difficulties in my life? Could I have that posture? I think as I read this scripture, I say, okay, this is a grace that God wants me to have to deal with trials in this life that I have not attained to where I am rejoicing the fact that this trial, this difficulty in my life is actually, there's a great possibility of the growth of my faith, strengthening my faith, having tested faith, that the tested faith is going to lead to more glory and honor and praise of Christ at his appearing. And see, even though we don't see him, we don't see Christ with our physical eyes right now, but believing him, because we believe him, we have joy inexpressible. That's here and now. Yes, there's a joy that's coming, that's future, that's more complete. But because we know him, because we love him, even now, during our trials, we can have joy. And I want to know more about living that way. That's my quest. How can I live in the joy of what Christ has done? Again, our orientation towards Christ, confidence, expectation, growing our faith in him for the current problems I face, but also for that future salvation that is yet to be complete. And I point us to this fact. It says, as he starts in here, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope. This is a living hope. This is something that's alive. It has life. It's going to grow. It has to grow by nature of the fact that it's alive. It is going to be alive currently and will be completed, but continue to live, I believe, eternally, that hope and that expectation in Christ, knowing his completion, his sufficiency for our needs. And we read Hebrews there already as well. Again, just a reminder, God is looking to grow our faith in the things we face today. He wants faith that shines brighter than any gold you and I could imagine here on earth. So, God's presence, God's grace, how do I get it? If you know me, you may know this is probably one of the biggest challenges for me, is to slow down and stop. God can and does speak to us in the hustle and bustle of life. But it is, our relationship with God is meant to be nurtured and to take time to pause, to reflect, to listen. I need to be told this over and over again. You're free to ask me about slowing down anytime you want to. Okay? Consider exhorting one another to just take that moment, whatever it is that you need to do, to stop. Even in the most, sometimes even the most emergent situations, when it cries for action now, pause. Sometimes, actually, usually, taking a moment to get God's answer instead of my natural response is going to be way better. God's grace is meant to grow our faith and nurture the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How is that supposed to work? I find it interesting. We can look at Galatians 5:16. Let's start there. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk. It doesn't say run, right? I think so often if we feel the pressure to move quickly, do this now, you've got to do something. I think if we recognize it, that's the same pressure the children of Israel were putting to Moses. It's the same pressure they felt. It's an emergency. Right now, we don't have water. But my attitude when I don't have water, when I am dry, thirsty, broken, and I don't know which way is up, matters. Keep walking the same pace as the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with Him. Let's go down to verse 22 to 25 here in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Did you notice any themes? The idea of even in forget which passage it is, either Peter or James, he talks about patience. Let patience have its work in our hearts. Let that happen. And I think that is part of the idea of learning to just walk with Him and allowing Him to speak to us rather than, I guess, you know, if I do my own fleshly thing, if I do my own responses, I don't find the peace. I find a lot of stress, a lot of strife, a lot of turmoil, impatience. I don't have self-control. When I have to try to manage it, make it happen, and I'm feeling like there's an emergency, I've got to do this or that or the other thing, and I'm not waiting on God's answer. I guess the other aspect of one thing that God's putting on my heart just for me is the idea that just understanding that I need yet more and deeper convincing that I must have an answer from God. I can't actually do it any other way. It's not possible. To live the Christian life any other way is just not possible. I must have that connection with God and know Him step by step in this journey. So, this is, like I said, an introduction to the idea of how does God want us to respond in trials. Let's remember, whether life is good, whether there's lots of difficulties, or everything's going smoothly, God is seeking for us to know Him, to grow our faith in Him, to develop the character of Christ in us, to allow the fruit of the Holy Spirit to blossom, that others may enjoy its fruit. That's really the idea of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, is to be developed that others around us may enjoy the blessings of that. This is what kind of in closing that I'd like to go through is just to look at Psalm 23. So I invite you to stand with me as I read this psalm and we consider, what is God saying to you? What does God want to walk with you in your life today? If you want to, just close your eyes and hear the word of the Lord in this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This means He provides for me. He's with me. He knows me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There's rest. There's quietness. In that rest and quietness, He restores my soul. Yes, He restores my soul. When I yield my soul to Him, I give my heart, my emotions, my mind, my body, yield to Him, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yes, it's for His name's sake. And even then, if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. His presence, yes, His presence, He's with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Yes, even when enemies are around me, there's a table, there's food to eat. You anoint my head with oil. There's blessing. My cup overflows. Oh, yes, and there's completion of this joy and this journey with God, with Jesus. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. yes, there's coming a day. His mercy follows us all the days of this life, but we will dwell with him forever. Father in heaven, we recognize our need before you this morning. We acknowledge that we want to know you more. We want to walk with you more closely. We want to hear you speak to us. So we ask you, by your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one of us in the quietness of our heart, the things that we need. What are the things you want to say, Lord? Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. We're asking, Lord, that you would give us the clarity to see the causes, the purposes, and the ways in which you want to grow our faith and develop our character in Christ, that we might be more like Jesus. We love you and we honor you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.